This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on SportsRadio740.com.
On our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline. Hello, Rodney. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, John and Barry. How are you guys?
Doing outstanding. Let's first start off talking about Alabama basketball. Now that the season is over, give us a retrospective, Rodney. This season, about expectations, above expectations, below expectations. Put a capper on it for us.
Well, I think the way they finished the season would probably make it probably met expectations, is what I would say, or certainly met hopes. No question about that. I think the goal certainly that the fans expected and wanted was to at least get to the NCAA tournament, and then they won the game. So maybe to some fans that exceeded expectations. I don't know, but I think it's obviously, let's put it this way, and I think you guys would agree, I think it's certainly a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Getting to the tournament, winning the first round game, played well against Virginia Tech. Kind of ran into a buzzsaw with Villanova. They're pretty good. I think people realize that, particularly early in the second half. What about Colin Sexton? Any news about when he officially will make a statement of what his future will be?
You know, I haven't heard exactly when that might happen. You know, of course, everyone's expected him to announce that he's leaving. But at the same time, you know how that goes. The closer we get, there's some buzz going around, you know, that, hey, maybe there'll be a surprise announcement. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But, John, if there's any time set, I have not heard.
Let's move to football now. Early on in spring practice for Alabama football, the big news has been an injury to Tua Tagovailoa. Can you shed some light on what happened, how it happened, and how severe it is, Rodney?
Yeah. Well, you know, John and Barry, as you guys know, and just explain to your listeners, we have a very brief media viewing period.
Right.
Maybe 10 minutes where they're going through individual drills. Not even team stuff or anything like that. So we're limited in what we can see. With that said, we have to kind of rely on what we hear or whatever. But according to, you know, some people I've talked to, apparently it was just a some sort of a passing drill, and where he hit his hand on another player's helmet. You know, Coach Saban said it was a thumb injury. Other people have said it's close to the thumb. It's, you know, some part of the hand. That is injured. There's been reports that it's a sprain. There's been talk that it's a break. You know, I've talked to certain people that have told me things, to be honest with you. I'm not comfortable in saying what it is in that regard, whether it's a sprain or a break, because I'm hearing, you know, both things.
But, right.
I mean, how do you get that information? It's difficult to really be accurate with that. But anyway, it is an injury that, from what I hear, he should be able to do some things, you know, very soon. It may be Saturday. It may be early next week. You know, what are those things? We're very limited, probably, to start off with. You know, there's been talk that maybe he may miss the spring in terms of all the scrimmages and those kinds of things. You know, we'll see. Again, I think it's too early for me to say much more than that.
You know, Roddy, I think what maybe caught a lot of people's attention, or maybe even alarmed them, was the news that he actually went to Birmingham to get it checked
right,
out.
I agree.
Now,
right.
You know, I know Lyle Kane, one of the team orthopedists, lives in Birmingham, who Alabama fans see on the sidelines when there's an injury. He's the first guy dealing with the players. So maybe that was an issue. But I think a lot of people feel like, wow, if they had to go to Birmingham, maybe this is a little more serious than normal.
Right. Well, and again, I think that well, you know, we'll certainly learn soon, I guess, with next time Nick Saban speaks. But, you know, officially, nothing's really known. Now, I do think, though, this, John, I really believe that he'll be, you know, doing some things here relatively soon. You know, will he be throwing the football maybe within a couple of weeks, a little bit, or whatever, maybe even sooner. But I'm not sure how limited he'll be through the rest of the spring.
Elsewhere in spring practice at Alabama, TigerInsider.com reports that Matt Womack will not be out there this spring. He is a returning right tackle. Does that open up a chance at real playing time for somebody else, or a chance for somebody to make a move at that position with him out?
Yeah, you know, John and Barry, I think there was a real chance regardless. I think they were going to look for the best combination up front. I really do, because they've got some extremely talented guys that played some last year. Obviously, Alex Leatherwood at left tackle did a fantastic job in the second half of the national championship game. I think they're trying to find a spot for him, maybe at left tackle. Jonah Williams worked some at left tackle, like that's the position he played last year, obviously. But he also worked some at left guard in this last practice. I think you'll see him work some at center. Ross Pierce-Baker worked at center, who was the left guard last year. At right tackle, the specific question you have, with Womack out, Jedrick Wills, who was a true freshman last year like Leatherwood, he's very, very talented. Maybe, you know, definitely on Leatherwood's level, to be honest with you. And so you got to kind of find a spot for him. He's that good. So I think he can compete there with Scott Lashley, who's another very talented redshirt sophomore. And then Wills also has the ability to play on the interior, guard or center. So, again, it's the experimentations that are going on this spring to kind of find that right combination. But, yeah, I think, you know, with Womack out, it certainly gives some other guys, Wills and Lashley, a lot of opportunity.
Rodney Orr, the Tider Insider, joining us here this morning. You know, obviously quarterback was an area that a lot of people had looked at coming into spring practice with the battles there, how that'll play out. Secondary, no doubt another area that we've heard a lot about in the offseason. Is it really as thin as I've heard and read some accounts are? That just seems a little odd with the way that Nick Saban has recruited so well over the years.
Well, you know, John Barry, the problem is that they lost six guys, you know, in this last graduating class here. Lost six guys in the secondary, and that's why, you know, it was such a focus in recruiting. They signed five. Savion Smith is here. We've talked about him, a talented corner prospect, and he's doing really well right now and went through the practices, as you know, for the Clemson and Georgia games. So, the other four won't get here until later, and they could really use them now because there is a shortage a little bit at corner. So they've had to use Devontae Smith, you know, the guy that catches the national championship, the hero of that game with that catch. And they've had to use him a little bit at corner in the individual drills, you know, to have enough. So, and then he does, by the way, go to receiver and plays receiver the rest of the practice. But, yeah, there is a little bit of a shortage, you know, and I think that, you know, in the fall camp, certainly when these other guys get here, the numbers will be back to normal.
Along those lines, you're talking about the defensive backfield. What about the defense as a whole? I know along the defensive line there were a lot of athletes there last year. How is that shaping up in the spring? Where are the spotlight parts of the defensive line in spring practice, Rodney?
Well, first of all, you know, you can never replace a guy like Deron Payne. I mean, that guy is we saw what he did when he turned it up a notch in the playoffs. I mean, he was a dominant player. He's going to be a top five. We know he's going to be a first-round pick, right? But not exactly where, but certainly a high pick. He's going to be very difficult to replace, but you have to build on what you have, and I think Nick Saban does that probably as well as anybody. Raekwon Davis, here's the good news.
Uh-huh.
Raekwon Davis and Isaiah Bugs have been just terrors in the off season. As you know,
yikes.
Raekwon had a big playoff. You know, he had big playoff games. He was really good against Georgia. You're talking about a guy 6'6", 310, and, I mean, he's cut. He is cut. I mean, you just don't see many guys his size built like he is. He's a tremendous athlete. He's really taking it up a notch, both on and off the field. I'm talking about in the classroom, in the weight room. You know, he's doing a fantastic job. And the guy to really watch that's stepped it up is, you remember former number one JUCO defensive line recruit Isaiah Bugs, who started coming on last year, had had some, you know, kind of spurts and some flashes of being a really good player. He's had a tremendous offseason, looks very good. I think now he really understands what it takes to be, you know, that the kind of player that he wants to be on this level. So he's doing a tremendous job. They've got some other guys, as you know. Quinnen Williams was a playmaker as a freshman every time he got in the game as a redshirt freshman last year. LeBrian Reyes recovered from that foot injury. He's going to be a tremendous player. The guy to really keep an eye on, we've probably mentioned him on this show before, is Fedarian Mathis. Ooh. He's an interior defensive lineman. He's about 6'4", 308 pounds or so, 310. He's a guy that really had a great season last year while he was being redshirted. I mean, showed a lot of promise. He's progressed, so there's obviously a lot of hope for him. The numbers aren't great, John and Barry, but they're adequate. But the quality is pretty good. So, again, it's difficult to replace Payne, but they have some really talented players.
Rodney Orr, the Tider Insider, joining us here today. Back to the quarterback's depth, always a concern. Mac Jones, a quarterback you don't hear a lot about, is on the roster. What about behind him? What's going to happen with depth at quarterback?
Well, you know, that's a great question, John. You know, Gardner Minshew, as you know, the guy that was hoping to provide depth with all the experience from East Carolina, the grad transfer, suddenly called Alabama a couple of days ago and told them he had changed of heart. He was going to Washington State and, you know, wanted to play for Mike Leach. It's a strange story how it all unfolded, but regardless, it's a kid that could have come in here and really provided some quality depth. So that's a great question. I mean, do you stick with what you have, or does maybe Dan Enos know some kid somewhere out there that, or can you find possibly a quarterback that's got some ability that could come in and provide you with at least a little bit of depth for next year? Don't really know that. It's kind of could become a precarious situation. As you see, mm-hmm. when your numbers get that low at quarterback, it could become a precarious situation. But I want to say one more thing, John and Barry, real quickly.
All
you
right.
ask about the defensive line and the need for somebody on the interior. There is a kid that Alabama's looking at, a junior college player, probably going to come in for a visit soon, Tavita Musaika. He is out of College of San Mateo out in California, 6'1". 330-pounder. I would not be surprised to see Alabama add him to their 2018 list. He could come in and play right away, you know, just because of the need on the interior. Mm-hmm. He's a good player. So keep that in mind. That could be another addition.
Man, I can't wait to hear Eli pronounce his name.
I was about to say, is there any truth to the rumor that with Tavita Musaika and Tua Tagovailoa on the same roster, Eli is going to look for a raise next year? Goodness gracious.
Well, I'll tell you, it really is. I mean, they've got some that they're recruiting right now on the defensive line. I can't even pronounce their names.
So wow.
Let me ask you this, and you don't have to get into the nuts and bolts of it because it's about a young person and all that kind of stuff. But we have heard that Gardner Minshew may have played Alabama in a role where, you know, he gets some interest from Alabama and parlays that into interest from other schools and ups his status, so to speak, to get exposure elsewhere. Does that seem like that could be a plausible approach in your estimation, Rodney?
You know, John and Barry, I don't think that's what happened, and I tell you why. But here's kind of a little bit of the background.
All right.
He actually he's from the Brandon, Mississippi, which is a suburb of Jackson. It's right there. And he actually was working out at Jackson State with Hal Mumme. Mm-hmm. And Hal Mumme is the offensive coordinator at Jackson State. And Hal Mumme is, you know, used to be the mentor for Mike Leach. And he convinced this kid, apparently told him, hey, you know, you've got a chance to be a really good player and maybe even an NFL player. He referred him to Mike Leach. And so the kid was on the up and up. He called Alabama. He was very remorseful with having to change his decision. And he just said that, you know, he felt at that time that when he called a couple of days ago, that he felt like, hey, I still have this burning desire to play, to be a starter. And you can understand that. He has an opportunity. His main reason for coming to Alabama was, yeah, if I get on the field, great. But if not, you know, my long-range goal is to be a coach. And what a greater opportunity to be here, be in this program and learn in so many different ways and make a lot of great, great contacts. And then, you know, just had a change of heart in terms of, you know, wanting to give it one more shot as a player. So you can kind of understand that.
Is Butch Jones getting paid? Because I don't know many interns that actually get a paycheck.
Yeah. I would assume if he's an intern, he's probably not.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't need one, I'm for sure, given the, you know, the settlement with Tennessee.
I thought that was an interesting choice of words yesterday when Coach Saban was asked about that in a press conference. I mean, we've had interns down at the radio station. I know they don't get paid.
Yeah.
The talent barely gets paid.
We got a producer same way.
Yeah.
TiderInsider.com. Rodney Orr has a lot of the insight in what's going on at spring practice. Not much of a viewing period. When will Saban speak next to the media? Will you have updates there on Tider Insider?
Yeah, certainly. I, you know, he's not scheduled to speak until, I think, next Tuesday.
Yeah.
I think was his next scheduled time.
Gotcha.
So people will be, you know how that goes. Everybody will be squirming to hear the news. So.
Well, a lot of people are squirming to hear news about anything happening with Alabama athletics, and Tider Insider is a place to go. Rodney, how do people get involved?
Well, it's TiderInsider.com. It's only $48 a year. You can get instant access with your credit card, or if you prefer, there's an address there to send a check. Well, listen, there's a lot of stuff on the front page. We had a lot of stuff from the first day of practices. Even yesterday, we had an additional notes package with a lot of insight from practice and so forth. And video there, if some of your listeners want to listen for free, podcast, all that stuff too. And then our forum, where it's a constant flow of stuff, if you will. So, again, it's only $48 a year. That's TiderInsider.com.
Great stuff. Man, Rodney, we really appreciate it. We will talk to you next week.